Welcome to Australian Design Radio, a podcast seeking to provide Australia and the world with conversations and commentary on design.
This episode is recorded on Yuggera and Turrbal country, and we acknowledge the traditional owners, their enduring connections to the land, knowledge and stories, paying respect to elders past and present. I'm your host, Miley Yeomans, and I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Leach. Matt, how are things with you?
Very well, thanks. Actually, hold on. You always ask me how I'm doing, and then I blabber on for ages and we run out of time to hear how you are. So, throwing it back at you. How are you?
I'm good. I've been working on some fun projects lately and generally just really enjoying freelance life. As we're recording this, though, our first episode back is set to drop tomorrow. So, currently, I'm just beyond excited for that.
Yeah, me too. It's amazing. This whole series actually was recorded at the design conference. And today we're hearing from multidisciplinary designer and artist Evio and Yaling Yu, who's the creative director of Foreign Policy.
I really enjoyed hearing them speak, especially their discussions about connection and how we can foster a healthy, safe and flourishing design industry.
They covered a lot of great topics, from how the industry as a whole might be improved to perceptions and myths around Australian design culture.
Yeah, and their working culture discussion really got me thinking, but we should stop holding them up and get to it.
Hold on. I thought we were going to get something very deep and profound from you. Come on, what were you thinking?
I guess it just got me thinking about what we consider normal or not, and I suppose what's been normalized as well.
That's a really good point. Actually, if you, the audience, have any thoughts about what you're hearing, why you're hearing it, please comment on the social media post or drop us a line at hello@ozdesignradio.com. We really want to hear from you.
Okay, now we really do need to turn it over to Evio and Yaling.
Okay, enjoy.
Good morning, Australia. This is Evio and Yaling Yu from the Office of Australian Design Radio. We are at the Design Conference Day 3. It's Friday. Brisbane is looking mighty fine. And I think the game is about to start. Over to you, Yaling.
Hi, guys. How do you say howdy? Howdy?
Howdy. Yeah,
howdy, Australia, Aussie, whatever. Brizzy. Brizzy, I love it, right? Cassie, Brizzy. I just love how Australian, like, casualized words, fun. Yeah, I'm Yaling from Foreign Policy. I flew from Singapore, 6.5 hours, not that far, but really glad to be here with Evie and Australia. My fourth time here, yeah, in a different state, brand new state.
So, Yaling, if I ask you like the top three really nerdy design takeaways from the past 3 days, what would it be for you? Is there anything that we do quite differently here in Australia? Although it's a bit unfair to say so, I guess, because a lot of the speakers come from all over the world.
Great question. Very nerdy. The first nerdy takeaway for me, because I've been speaking in different conferences for a few years, and for me, it's always like improving my craft of presentation and, you know, all that stuff. So for me, I always try to learn from every speaker how they deliver their speech and the presentation slides. And I mean, these are the nerdy things I try to learn from. Of course, I'm always blown away by people who have like professionally like wowed slides design, and definitely people who are super natural on a stage, like Evie, who like, you know, a natural born speaker, comedian, whatever, that connects, engage the audience. So that's really my first takeaway, learning from my new friends. The second part is really like how different people approach their practice, you know, looking at the content and how they're, what they're sharing, and how they are sort of also using different mediums and, I guess, technology to express or help the clients bring their vision to their customers. So that's always a good thing that I try to pay attention to. And for this time especially, the third takeaway is I'm quite new to the, you know, whole Australian Indigenous culture. I'm learning, you know. My last experience speaking in Australia was well, that's New Zealand.
We're neighbours.
Yeah, I was in Wellington, and that was my first exposure to that. And I find it really, really, I think, respectful that the two countries have such huge, you know, consideration and respect for the original, you know, inhabitants. And that isn't really found in any other country.
Yes, yeah. We can say that.
So I felt an immense respect for both countries to be able to do that. And conversation was, you know, fluid and open. You know, we met the auntie, we met new friends, Tyrone. You know, it's a new experience for me. And I hope that other countries can open up and follow the footsteps of Australia and New Zealand. Not a super nerdy takeaway, but it's an important takeaway for me.
Those are actually very wise and deep. But this is what happens in design conferences, I guess. When I was going to the design conference, I didn't know what I was expecting, except that, you know, like, I like the energy of Matthew Haynes, the one person who's kind of like crazy enough to do it. Good on you, Matt. But it's quite interesting because we both spoke in day one, didn't we? And like, even just like looking at the lineup, there is kind of like topics that kind of evolve. As you said, like, there's a lot to be said about your heritage, even if it's, you know, whether it's indigenous or like where each designer's understanding of the world comes from. And I had to say, like, I think maybe there is a pull now, rather than, you know, being global and unite into like one big culture, we need to celebrate the diversity. And more than ever, like, it's very easy to do it here, isn't it? And like to talk about it and question it and challenge it. And so, yeah, that was one of my three takeaways. The second one is there were a lot, I felt anyway, like that, or maybe I was just listening to what I want to listen to, but I thought there were a lot of conversations between the relationship of art and design. When I was so happy when Michaela was showing her sculptural work and how she took that into her both, well, when I say both, like she actually had a fine arts degree before we went going into design, and I'm like, okay, I'm not alone. But then Dean was the same. He was just doing art, and then, all of us kind of ended up in design, and I'm like, maybe it's not so much of a coincidence, and like that needs to be something that should be said more in a way, because I guess, like, I don't know, sometimes as designers, you get bogged down into the functionality of things and forget beauty, or like you do it without subconsciously letting yourself go and be loose and explore creativity in that way. And then my third takeaway is actually the new friends I've made, including you. I didn't even realize. So we didn't go to bed until 3 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's fun, right?
That was really fun. And we, you know, like you can't plan things like that. And I feel like that, you know, last night would be one of the nights I will remember in my deathbed with my whippets and...
Yeah, I thought I was done with my tea, right? My tea and ready to head back to bed. But we just brought our entire mini bar, everyone. And we just sat out there for like 3 hours or more. I can't remember.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember much, but I just remember the feeling of like, you know, we're all here... And this is the nerdiest thing I'll ever say. But like, we are all here at 3 a.m. united by graphic design. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And everyone has something to say and something to build on, you know. And it's just an awesome feeling, right? And I think that's also one motivation and drive to why I also kind of try to say yes to the invites when I am asked to speak. Yeah. It's these friendships that are very precious and hard to come by.
And I think it also happens to many layers of whoever's here, you know, whether you're volunteering or you're an audience or you're speakers, organizers, sponsors. Thank you, everyone. I'm working for the design conference now.
Logo. Supported by MEO Studio.
So shall we talk a little bit about Singapore and design? Well, because you've been to more conferences than I have. What do you think made a healthy, safe and growing design community? What have you seen from all over the world that we can learn from them?
I think first and foremost is sharing, the openness to share. I feel like, I think maybe 15 years ago, people are not as willing to share because they're very guarded. Maybe they think it's like trade secret, like I don't share my deck on how I present to my client. But nowadays, it's like you see decks all over the internet, you know. But that doesn't mean that you are sort of giving away your secrets. Actually, you're helping the community to grow, and you will still be elevating yourself even more because I don't think you should stay still, right? I think conferences are that way too, because you're meant to be there to not just talk about your work, but you know, to talk about your learnings and maybe your tips and advice. And that way people can elevate, can grow. And at the same time, we connect because we are all people who are working in the same way, maybe for the same kind of, you know, like we use the same tool, we're doing creative stuff, you know. And it's mental in a way that if you are just trapped within your own office and you're not talking to people who are doing the same thing as you are, and this kind of conferences are great because it brings people of the same together and it's fun, you know, and it's beautiful. And I mean, I'm sure there are like doctors' conferences, dentist conferences, you know, but I think for creative, it's even more beautiful because I feel like we don't have a boundary that we care about so much, you know. We somehow, like, I think at this day and age, we follow one another on Instagram, and then when you meet the person or the studio that you follow, you're like, oh my god, it's like fangirling or whatever.
Same.
Right? Yeah, so that's an extra layer of like connection, I feel, connectness.
Yeah, I actually got reminded about that as well, because I have been in the and I kept saying this, it sounds like I'm such a sad lonely loser, but like I've all my life I have been dealing more within the publishing industry, so like, you know, I felt like that's my first creative home. But then as you grow older, just like in any rebellious teenager, maybe you needed to leave home, right? And like you start to question home and started to do different things that your parents wanted you to do, started to see like, oh, maybe I'm smarter than them all. I mean, no, but there was a growing frustration within me that was kind of weirdly answered in a very deep level. That it must be the 3 a.m. conversation. But like yesterday, I remember, I think it was Dean was saying like, oh, you know, we're just all like doing our little thing. And then like, we just can kind of talk about it now. And that reminded me, I'm not alone in that. Everyone is also doing their own thing. And that community, I mean, we need Matthew Haynes to do this, but also like once you're here, it's up to you what, you know, how you want to connect with your people. And I'm not going to cry, but you know, I felt like I found new people, my people.
Your tribe.
My tribe in this, you know, last 3 days. And I'm forever grateful that I'm here and, you know, having lack of sleep and too much coffee and wine, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what a successful conference would be. And I feel like with the friendship that you made, it's also eventual collaborations that might happen down the road. And that kind of, I mean, it's not transactional, but it's like healthy collaboration that will actually push the graphic design standards or level up. And I think that's even more important.
I agree, because we're all nerds and we just really love graphic design.
Exactly. It's like, oh yeah, we have to make these little dices. Little smiley face.
We're talking about Dean.
Yes.
But also like it's quite funny to even find like Liza loves techno music, and we'll be sharing playlists. And you know, Jermaine and I have been friends but back in Sydney, but then we've actually never shared hours of just like deep conversation. It's crazy what things, what happens when you're away from home.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like this sanctuary, this safe place where, and also a downtime for everyone who's always like so busy and all, trying to chase our deadline. But then it takes away from us, away from our desk, and then we finally be able to breathe and like talk and meet a person properly.
Do you think you do that anyway in your day to day?
Nowadays not so, because I think when I get back to Singapore, it's like back to the, I don't want to say grind, but it's very like,
it is a grind.
Yeah, like every day we're like, okay, let's brainstorm, let's get this up, blah 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 blah, and then it's hard to meet friends. I mean, we have design circle also, community, but it's so hard to say, hey, let's go out for dinner, you know. I know some people wanted to do a dinner for a long time already in my community, but we haven't met since the last exhibition that I did the exhibition just past January, and everyone who was part of it was telling me, hey, let's meet for dinner. But you know, it's like, what, June? I'm sorry, guys.
No, but this year has gone really fast. Like, same with me. Like, one of my best friend, Millie Den, who's actually a Brisbane local, grew up here. She moved to Sydney, to Cova, to study fine arts. And then she's got an amazing ceramic business. Bit of a local hero, but not just in Brisbane, but also in Sydney.
I love ceramics.
Exactly. You will love her work. It's very like, it's swirly and off the water. It's in a way, it's very Australian, but in a very contemporary way. Anyway, like, yeah, we haven't seen each other. We've been texting, but so what is it about our day to day, do you think, that can be improved? Because like, imagine if you have this energy that we feel in design conference happens every month or every week. I mean, you do your interview project. Do you think that that's a result of like yearning to connect to people?
Yeah, for sure. I think my interview is a way to connect to people, and also using that interview to connect to more people who would like to know more about design and are curious about other creators or designers. And for me, I think day-to-day could be improved if we do a four-day week, or we all get off like 4 p.m. maybe.
Yeah.
Like Australia, I don't know.
Oh, well, it's so funny. They have this myth that we're like lazy bums, or like we don't work as much and shops close at 6, but that's true. But we actually work really... Oh, yes. IGA opens until 10, though.
Okay.
No, but we actually work really hard. Like, I think, I don't know what your experience was about Sydney, but people in Sydney, I reckon, woke up the earliest, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., they're already doing their jog. Cafes are open at like 6:30. Like, you go to Europe, I'm like, 8 a.m., I need my coffee. All the cafes are closed. It's actually quite interesting. Like, Australians have this, like, image of, like, being laid back. But we actually do so much in our days. And I was talking about this with Kat Burgess, and, like, how she was like, yeah, like, get up, maybe do meditation, work, go home, tend to the kids, sleep, and over. Like, it's... I don't know if we're actually a very good example of like having a laid-back culture.
Yeah, so I have to admit that I had that impression of stereotypical impression of Australians, like so laid-back, right? Why everything closed at 4, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I made a trip with my family, first time to Australia, like last year, to Sydney and Tasmania. And I realized that, yes, although everything closed, not everything, but things close at 4 p.m., we can't get out dinner.
Depends which city you are.
Yeah. But like you said, cafe opened at 6:30. I was so shocked because we were doing our last Sunday brunch and they were open like 6. I was like, wow. And I went to the mall. The shop was open. I was like, wow, that's early. So then I thought back to myself, okay, that makes sense. 6:30 to 4, that makes sense. That's a whole 8 hour.
Yeah.
You guys are not lazy.
No, we are not. And in a way, if we do, and I start doing this with my life as well, I love work. I'm not going to even like try and hide it. I used to like would wake up at 5:45, do whatever my morning routine is and meet my friend Josh, who's now in New York, sadly, at the park by like 6:30. And then we'll walk until 7:30, go back home and then work. I would go straight to work and then work until like 6 or something and then go out. Like, but now even just like respecting or like starting a day with something that's a little bit less full on. No, I'm not making sense, am I? Because now I'm doing spin classes before work. But
no, I think I know what you're saying. That was what we're trying to start, my partner and I. We're like, okay, let's wake up early because we have a little girl right now. She's like almost 5 and it's very hard. We are always working our routine around hers. She has to be in school by 9. We have to drop her off. That means that we might be slightly late for work. So how do we... Then we have to leave the office by 4:30 to pick her up. So it means that we're working less.
That doesn't mean you're producing less, right?
I don't know. So, so we were like struggling for a while. And then he said, okay, why don't I work out at 4 a.m. And he did. And he did his meditation and his exercise and then he did some work. So by the time it's 7, he did some work already and he's ready to like, we are ready to go out and drop her off or, you know, all that stuff.
Do you think there's an experiment in this ready to be, you know, to happen in Singapore, like a cafe that opens at 6 a.m. and then see what happens?
We can try. You want to open up a cafe?
I can, I'm a really bad, coffee maker. I can, push some buttons, but cause like, remember, like a lot of people say like, there is this movement about like becoming a morning person and like what benefits come with it. Even like the idea of like, exposing yourself to light. I used before my boyfriend, which I love very much, but I used to, I love him very much, but like I used to sleep with the curtain up. So I would wake up when the sky starts to have color. And it lasted only, during my single years. But like, obviously, I'm not very popular in the curtain conversation. But I truly believe there is something beautiful to wake up to color, to wake up to beauty. And not just, I don't know, be in a dark room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried, before even having the little girl, I tried to wake up at 4 to do the thing. And then I go to work and then I try to, be off by 3 or 4 o'clock. Then you can do your own thing, like hang out with friends and go to the gym or, like just relax, because I think that's kind of the Australian lifestyle, I just realized. Yeah. But in, out and out, whatever, I am a night owl.
Yes, yes.
So I can't sleep until it hits at least midnight, right? Or 1, or even 2.
You told me you stayed up until 4 a.m. Well, I was like 3 a.m. bed. I think I was actually yawning myself to sleep on the chair. But, but okay, it's only been COVID has been declared not scary anymore, right? Yeah. I don't know what the right term is. And I feel like it's a good time to talk about it because in like 2 weeks, it wouldn't be relevant anymore. But like in Singapore and like, for example, okay, in Australia, there were a lot of conversations about changing the way we work. And as a small studio, we're lucky enough to be able to kind of experiment with it a little bit here and there. For example, 2 weeks ago, we had a Monday off because we just decided, we've worked so hard, we deserve a day off, and the whole office closed for one day. Corporations will cry if something like that is being petitioned. But like, how do you think work has been redefined in Singapore since COVID? Because, Singapore is known to have a very unhealthy working culture, like kiasu and
You know about that.
Oh,
right?
I know about that. But also, like, I don't think maybe it exists so much in the creative industry. I hope not. But, like, I have stories about young people being very depressed working in Singapore because of that mentality. But do you think it's changing since COVID? Like, what?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so just to, for the, you know, audience, let me explain what she just said. Kiasu means, it's actually a Chinese word, meaning afraid to lose out, like FOMO. Basically, it's FOMO, right? Like FOMO in a not so good way. Like you need to be first at everything. You need to make sure that you get everything that, like school, you need to be, make sure that you're ahead. You know, whatever you're acquiring, you need to be, you need to have people, you have a, people have cars, you need to have a car too. Things like that, you know, you feel like you're part of, ahead of the crowd or whatever. So it's like this FOMO culture that we have, she's talking about. So we are working, I think productivity, Singapore is really low. We might work long hours, but I feel like productivity is really low.
That's interesting, truly.
I feel like we're not very productive. As opposed to like European who are working 4 days a week and Australian who are doing like the early and then getting out at four. I think you guys are very productive. You know, like I have to say the French people who stereotypically been labeled lazy are not. Actually, they're very productive. Pretty much the same as Australian because I was there and I experienced it firsthand. They are really productive. They just make sure they do their work during their work hours and then they just go home on time, early. And but things get done. But in Singapore, I feel like people like to stay in the office. Big corporation be like 8 to 5, 9 to 6. And it doesn't mean that it's productive. So for what you're trying to say, right, has COVID changed? Yes. So a lot of the big corporation made people work from home. And now they are like switching into like, okay, 3 days home, 2 days office, or 2 days home, 3 days office, which is actually great for family healthy relationship. But banks are a little bit tricky, I heard, because my brother works in a bank. They really need to be there, I guess banks, right? So they will be at office more. But they still get like a 1 day work from home. So there is a change. And then for like our little office like this, we do encourage, well, I do feel like I don't go to the office that often.
But that's probably because you need your space to do your work, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm just like reflecting myself upon you.
I do, but it's also, COVID was a transition years, actually 2-3 years, right? I had my kid was growing up and we were moving and there was changes in the studio, but also if you look at it, it was kind of good because but I don't know if it's good actually.
Well, I actually want to ask, like, what have you tried and what worked and what haven't, because I'm not a very directive boss, I would say. I'm a very nice boss. I'm pretty
Me
sure
too.
That exactly. So when COVID happened and everyone was obviously not allowed to come in, they just all went away. And like when I say went away, we're all connected by Slack, but it was also quite isolated. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But also as soon as lockdown was out, we were kind of all like a bit like, so what are we doing? Are we going back to the office? And I did this experiment where I said, just do whatever you want. Like, you've already proven that, you know, you can work anywhere. And everyone's like, okay. And I mean, you know, like personal reflection, I should have created some boundaries and rules because like some people need that. Some people love, you know, not being told by anyone like me, but also what I found interesting was that culture got lost if you don't commune as humans. And I also feel like if you are only studying in the design industry, one of our junior actually was saying, I love working here, but I feel like I don't have the guidance that I need to grow what can we do about it? So since then, we've kind of added a little bit of structure where we have a traffic meeting every Monday morning and everyone comes in. But then Tuesday to Friday are a little bit like free for all. And then like, it's to me, it's beautiful to see people starting to form their own workflow. When they have to meet their colleagues, they make appointments between themselves. If they have to go to the post office or pick up their children, they will just work whatever hour they think are needed to finish work. And productivity doesn't need to be, I guess, related to hours. Also, we still need to record hours because, you know, you need to show your clients billable hours. But it's... Yes, of course. And I feel like the only thing that makes it challenging for us for now is like, I guess, even though we know that works better for the individuals in the studio, not the whole world are used to it. And like, even like clients get freaked out sometimes saying like, what, you guys are not here on Monday, what's happening? So yeah, that I guess that was kind of like an open-ended conclusion that I understood from COVID. But I kind of wondered what you think about all that.
I can share our experience. So we locked down twice. First time was 3 months, and then they opened up a little bit, and then no, locked down again.
Ah.
So actually, my team, I think they feel a bit depressed. Working from home, they really want to come back to the office because what we have as a team, we are quite close, and I am quite close to them, and we really feel like we work best when we are at the same table and we're just talking rubbish and we get a lot of ideas done within like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even, you know, long 30 minutes maybe, but it gets done. And we'll have fun. We have like, wow, we are like high on ideas, you know. But at home, it's like I'm staring at you in Zoom window, and then you're like typing, and then some of my teammates, because they are not from here, they live with their roommates, and everyone has a set up their table in their room, and it's funny, they make their own company logo and put it on the door. But anyways.
Oh, I have an idea for the nerdiest thing ever. Someone who's like Matthew Haynes, who wants to do something serious. Why don't someone propose a Netflix show on like design studios?
Yeah.
That'll be hilarious.
I'd said that before.
I think so. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So we need to hustle this,
let's
right?
Let's hustle this. Yeah.
Matthew Haynes, where are you?
So anyway, so they really prefer to come back. So when the second lockdown happened, well, we had a period of like unlockdown, I don't know, or they had this, they loosened the rules a little bit. They say, okay, maybe one person can be at the studio at one time, just one person, anyone could be at the office, but only one person, and then slowly they loosen to like each person needs to be at least I don't know how many meters away. So my office is quite big for a small team, so they would just come back secretly.
Nice.
Because the authority will actually come check, right? So they will like close the door and be really like, just don't go out.
You guys are so brave. This is Singapore. You get fine.
Oh my God, I'm just like telling the whole world.
I know, but that's okay, right?
But we are, I mean, I try not to go back because then so that they have their space and we don't get in trouble. But I know that they, at least two of them go back like every day.
That proves that humans in one room are still the best experience,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. So, and then we, like you said, the internship, the learning, the junior not getting experience, right? We had, unfortunately, started an internship right before the lockdown, right? I think she was there for 3 days and suddenly we had the lockdown, right? Everyone has to bring the computer home. And I was like, oh my God. And she's like, okay, it's fine. She's like quite... positive, but I feel like she was only there for 3 months, right? So by the end of it, she extended like I think extra 2 weeks, and we were allowed to go back. We realized that she was only there for 2 weeks, and I feel a little bit sorry you know, and we didn't get to know her really well. Because if you are in the office every day, you have lunch, you hang out, you talk shit. Sorry. you really bond with somebody, yeah. Right? And with Zoom, it's just different.
I mean, did we talk shit until 3 a.m. last night?
We did.
We did.
It was good shit, though.
Good shit.
Hey, Din's drink.
Exactly. There's a new probiotic drink. This is an advertising called Good Shit. And it's designed by Din Paul from Old Group. There's cola flavor, mango, citrus. I can't remember the two.
But check it out. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah. It does help with shitting. let's... Do you have any more to add on that?
Yeah, I wanted to say that... to add structure to the lockdown, right? Because you don't see each other. Before the lockdown, we always have this, what we call a production meeting every... We don't do it Mondays. I think we do it midweek. So as to like, everyone will report what the status of what they're working on. Like very brief. It's not like a full-blown project meeting, but like, oh, I'm working on this project and it's like 50%, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm talking to the client and... we're having trouble with the assets. Maybe we can chat later to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's that kind of meeting to like, oh, okay, we know what everyone's working on. So we did one stand-up thing on Slack, okay? There is a Slack thing that you can add, app. And so it just remind everyone to come in to meet at, I think we did on Monday. I can't remember, but it was also the same thing. So every window, everyone's like reporting what they're working on. But it's... that provides some kind of updates and connection to what everyone's working on, but it still feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did that throughout the lockdown, but yeah.
So I guess there's still a lot of improvement to be made if we want to make this working from home better.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple with their VR glasses, yeah, right? But I did one thing that I wanted to kind of discuss on stage, which I completely forgot because I was running out of time, was may I ask how long have you been in the design industry now?
You're talking about just studio or?
Just yourself as a Yaling.
Just Yaling. Okay, let me think. Okay, can I think? I'm not that young, okay? But da 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 da. Y2K, maybe we can. Okay, let's start from Y2K till now. So it's like 23, 24 years.
That doesn't include your student years?
No.
Okay, so including student years, like longer, right?
Longer, because I'm very active, what should I say, student who also takes freelance work when I was
Of course, we had to. We're Asians. We're all kiasu. but what I have been seeing, because like I guess my studio is very young in that like...
Same.
Yours is
young.
You know,
I mean, young.
Young at heart.
Young at heart. And young with design, demographics.
True, true, true. And like what I have been seeing as a struggle for designers, and I actually remember this, when you reach a certain level like midweight and seniors when you already own the craft, and I think we discussed this a little bit, and that perhaps you're lacking purpose or haven't found your purpose or like you don't know where to go next. And obviously my personal experience has been that the love of the craft alone is never going to be enough. I mean, I love it, but I need something to put a context to it. And I think in, I don't know about the other worlds, but like I guess in Australia there is a big shift of midway to senior designers rather than jumping between agencies that like they go freelance or like they start their own thing. And I think like a lot of us are still experimenting with it. But like, do you have any advice? And because I know you still love your craft and you've obviously found your purpose, but like, what were the kind of like the breakthrough moments? Like for me, I started doing art and I'm kind of like, okay. And they were used to be separate and now they're like kind of together. But what were your breakthrough moments that kind of made you realize, yes, this is, you know, through graphic design, I will contribute to the world. Through graphic design, I will love my life.
Wow, that's a big question.
I am very deep.
Ooh, okay. I think I'm I'm a very curious person, as you know, and always loving to try new things. Not totally afraid to, you know, bring it on, you know. So that helps in a way, because through working on, I think, projects that has made positive impact on whether it's individual or businesses, that actually feedback, it's like a circular economy. Totally sustainable. But
oh my god.
So by that I feel the confidence that what we do could change and make positive impact, whether it's small or big. I'm dealing with businesses, so for our business. And if you're working with nonprofits, like for individuals, right? I think that is the circular thing that has been feeding me and making me motivating me, driving me go on and on. And every time we do something that is, of course, nice, and of course the client loves it, and of course they are doing well because of it, as that it helps them. It gives me even more energy to want to do more. And then I love to explore like new tools, new technology, and I always like encourage my team to embrace them. You know, they think I'm crazy, but. I'm always like, hey, try out Cavalry, try out Figma, Canva, why not?
Exactly, why not?
Yeah, why not, you know? And let's do video, let's do motion graphics, you know? So I think I'm always like trying to make sure that we are exploring as much as we can, and that I know my team can do it, because, you know, they're young, they can do anything, guys. You know,
this is the age of AI. They can do anything. Actually, it's actually scary. You guys have to be smarter than AI.
Exactly.
Good luck. No, I'm joking.
I think them being able to take that on and, you know, make those experiments real and workable, and then we can apply to the clients, and then we make the projects like. Positively impactful for their business, and then that again comes back to feeding us the confidence and, you know, the assurance that, hey, we can make it, we can do it, we can make a positive impact socially and culturally
and personally. You feel better, don't you? Yeah.
So I think that's the thing, the loop that keeps me going. If that I answer that question,
I think it does, and I think I think what people sometimes forget is they get comfortable in their own network, in their own circle of friends. You know, like there were sayings that, oh, it's so hard to find friends as an adult. I'm like, oh my God, Instagram, just slide some DMs. How I find, you know, some of my best friends. And it's better. You can filter what, you know, their taste is like, because you want to look good together.
True. Compatible.
Yeah.
Co-star.
Is that
another avatar?
That's another conversation.
That was such a great chat.
Yeah, it was so much about creative community to me, and I loved how AO landed on like just DM people. I mean,
yeah, that was great.
It's how you and I wound up working together, and I feel like it can be really scary to reach out to people, especially if you admire their work. But yeah, there's really not much downside.
No, there isn't. And, you know, speaking of reaching out, how about this for a segue? Thank you for all the feedback that the listeners have already been sending through. Keep it coming. It's great to hear what you liked and what you want more of and who you want us to interview. So just drop us a line at hello@ozdesignradio.com.
Yes. And you can always leave us a review on Spotify or iTunes or both. It really helps us reach more people.
Till next time, have an amazing week and look after each other.
See ya.